as the Gemara in Tanis comments. Hoy called Samei Lechul Amoyim. Hoy called Samei Lechul Amoyim. Yeah, the Gemara talks about why Torah is Nimshal Lamayim. If you got to the end of the Sugya, you might see a connection actually to our Gemara. Well, let's take a look. We're at the end of the Or Sugya, and the Gemara is about to pivot to where it actually matters. So let's take a look. Rabbi said, Toshima, the first wide line, Gimel Amud Aleph. Toshima, the second to last Raya. First wide line, Gimel Amud Aleph. Toshima, Or Shal Yom Kippurim, Mispar Shevo Mizvadeh. In the Or of Yom Kippur, you daven Shemoneh Esrei with seven brachos, like every Shabbos and Yom Tov except for Rosh Hashanah. You have a seven bracha Shemoneh Esrei, you have a Yontif Tikkur Shemoneh Esrei, at the Or of Yom Kippur, umisvade, and you have to say vidui. Shachris, in the morning, misbal sheva umisvade. Once again, a seven bracha Shemoneh Esrei for Shachris, and then you say vidui. B'musav, misbal sheva umisvade. Musavaita. So it's pretty clear already that the Or was obviously not talking about the morning, because Shachris and Musaf were mentioned explicitly. Or was obviously talking about what? Or was talking about the night before Ma'arit. Arvit. Okay. V'mincha. Mishpal Sheva u'mizvada. So those are the Talmei Tefillah so far. Those are four. So they tell you on the side, the Masoros Hashas, if you have a newfangled Gemara, it's Osvav. You have an old-fashioned Gemara, just a star that sends you to the side, but either way they point out there's a missing line here. It's actually ironic, very critical, because they tell you on the side this also appears in Yuma and in Nida, and there there's an added four words. B'ne'ila mispalel sheva o mizvada. Let's not forget Ne'ila, and we'll see why that's so critical in a moment. The Arvis mispalel me'ein shmonasar. Tanakhama says, "Then my rib, you daven me'ein shmona asar, something that's like shmona esrei, like the 18 brachas. That's what we call havinenu." Tanakhama says, "My rib matzayim kippur. If you want to, you could daven havinenu." Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees with Tanakhama. He says, "Mishum avosav, in the name of his fathers, name of his ancestors, no mispalel shmona asar shalemos." You cannot say Havinenu. It's a sugya, larger sugya in Asachas Brachas about saying Havinenu. Sometimes it's appropriate to, instead of the middle 12 or the Zman Hazeh 13 brachas of a weekday Shema Esrei, sometimes you can condense them into a single middle bracha that begins the word Havinenu, Milashen Bina, and in that bracha. The same way Al Hamichya is a kitzur of the first three brachas of benching, that you call bracha achas me'ein shalosh. It's a single bracha that's along the lines of three, like the word me'ein, like ke'en da'oraisa. So here, me'ein shmona esrei, havinenu, is a single bracha that every phrase corresponds to the next bracha. One phrase about atachone, one phrase about hashivenu, and one phrase about tzlachlon, and so on and so forth. There's one bracha that covers all the middle brachos of a weekday Shmoneh Esrei. So the Tanakhama said, God daven ma'ariv, you're allowed to say havinenu. Chinuch Gamliel says, no, you're not allowed to daven havinenu, you got to say a full Shmoneh Esrei. There are kind of situations under which it's appropriate to say a briefer Shmoneh Esrei. The Shas HaTchak, large discussion we show you, not for now. But the Gemara says in Brachos, and Rechaniah Gamliel says it here, in Pesachim, even when you're in an emergency situation, and you would normally be allowed to shrink your Shmona Esrei, your 18, 19 Bracha Shmona Esrei into a 7 Bracha Shmona Esrei, by being Makatra, all the middle Brachas in Da'avinenu, but you're not allowed to do it. The Gemara says, number one, not starting last night. You're not allowed to say Havinenu during the winter months, because it does not include the same Talmud of the Bracha, and you're not allowed to say Havinenu on Motzai Shabbos, because it does not include Atachon Antana. So that's what Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says here. You cannot say me'en shmon esrei. You cannot say the kitzur, the avineinu. Why? Because you have to say atachon tanu. Atachon tanu does not have a home within havineinu. So whenever you have to say v'sein talamatar or atachon tanu, havineinu is not an option, even when it's the sort of emergency situation that would normally allow for saying havineinu. Now, the irony, by the way, of the fact that line is missing, Masaras HaShas has that missing line, point out that they left out the reference to Ne'ilah, that if you look in Yuma, you see it's at the very, very, very end of Yuma. Mamish, right near the end. The last blot or two. Pei Zayin Amabez. The Gemara there gets involved in discussion of can you be Yotze Ne'ilah and Ma'ariv, the Rishonim raised. Ne'ilah and Ma'ariv with a single Shmon Esrei. Could that work? So they quote, this Bryce is quoted in Yuma as proof that no, that you're not Yotze Meir by Davi Ne'ilah. Everyone knows the famous Vart about why we say Slach Lanu in the famous Kash, how can we say Slach Lanu in Meir Matzah Yom Kippur? It's famous. Who made that Vart famous? The Archko Machzer. Archko Machzer makes that Vart famous because that's the Vart that they have on the Shmon Esrei of Meir Matzah Yom Kippur. How can we say Slach Lanu? So there were different rabbis of different pshatim, what we're asking Slicha for. But Lamaisa is actually Machlokas, whether you have to daven a separate Ma'ariv, or can you daven Ne'ilah Ma'ariv in a single Shmona Esrei? So the Gemara quotes this, Bryce says, right, that you do, as we do, daven Ne'ilah and Ma'ariv separately. But I think it's ironic that there's a Girsa issue in the way it's quoted here. Okay, well, Lamaisa should have the Ne'ilah, and that's how we talk a Paskin. There's a stipler at the end of Yuma, not for now, but he talks about what's driving that machlokas. Maybe it has to do with Tfilas Arvus Rishus, Tfilas Arvus Chova. Rabbi Chaim Gamliel quoted his ancestors, among whom were Rabbi Gamliel, who held very famously Tfilas Arvus Chova. Those were the fourth parak of Brachas. Remember a very dramatic story with Rabbi Gamliel publicly embarrassing Rabbi Yeshua, and then Rabbi Gamliel got impeached. He was at the impeachment of Rabbi Gamliel. He lost his position as president. It happens to be, as an aside, not for now, but a marvelous story in terms of mitos. Marvelous. Maybe for some other time. That story in the fourth paragraph of Brachas. You see, everyone is so sensitive. Rabbi Gamliel, they impeach Rabbi Gamliel. The natural person to replace him would have been Rabbi Yoshua, who was the second in command. But they didn't want to do that to Rabbi Gamliel because that would make it appear political. Because he had been going out against Rabbi Yeshua. If they put Rabbi Yeshua in his place, that would be unnecessarily insulting. And Rabbi Gamliel himself comes back to the Beis Medrash the next day as a private citizen. And he's actively involved, the Gemara points out, in the Masa Matan learning. He wasn't like, oh, you know, you jilted me, you insulted me, I'm not going to show up anymore. It was, okay, they felt his leadership style was inappropriate. They felt his leadership style was too tough. So, okay. He felt this was the right way to run things, but his chaverim disagreed. So he was no longer leading the Sanhedrin, but he was still a member of the Sanhedrin. They did not exclude him, nor did he exclude himself. And the hemshach of the story also is such incredible sensitivity in mitos. But anyhow, that whole story with the impeachment of Gamliel begins with the fact that Gamliel held very passionately that Tfilas Arvus Chova, which may be why this Tabor points out, that's part of what's driving this assumption that you cannot be Yotze Ma'ariv with Ne'ilah. Ma'ariv stands on its own, you gotta daven Ne'ilah, and you gotta daven Ma'ariv. There's a lot going on this Braisa. But our Gemara is interested in one point, which is the very first word. Or Shal Yom HaKippurim. Give out. The Gemara says, Alma or Urtu. Once again, what's that? Raya number three, Raya number four, very lost track. How many Raya's? How many solid rayas have we had so far? At least three. We had Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov. No, first we had Vod Kedar Larbasar. What? Yeah. And then we had yes. We had a series of rayas that actually landed. A series of rayas that were not rejected. Most recently we had the Achilas. All the ones of the Talmud work. Mapelas are all Shmona Esrei works. Achilas Karbanos works. Yom Kippur davening works. Three in a row. Three in a row that worked. And then finally, as Chaim points out, we have one last one. Tashema. Tashema. Where are we up to? The last word in the fifth white line. Gimel Amud Aleph. Sachem 3a2. Tashema. The Tanir Devei Shmuel. In Shmuel's Beis HaMedrash, they said over the following brisa. Shmuel was the first generation Amora, a contemporary of Rav, as we know. One of the two Talmidei Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who after leaving Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's yeshiva, they went on Shlichut. They left the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael and they come to Bavel to take up Rabbanah's positions. And Shmuel's Beis HaMedrash in Harda, I believe, they said over the following brisa. Lele Arbas, Arbokas Dechamas Araner. That's pretty explicit. Now, what does not appear in this brisa is the word or. Right? Unlike all the other riots that we've brought, this one does not have the word or. Lele Arbas, Arbokas Dechamas Araner. The Gemara says, Alma Ar Urtahu. Where's the Alma? It doesn't use the word R. What's the Raya? Ah! Because obviously, you compare it to our Mishnah, it's not, this is no longer dictionary definition. This Raya is no longer about, oh, look at how the word R is used. This one's actually, exactly, a Perish on our Mishnah. Directly referencing our Mishnah. And the Gemara says, okay, so that's a Raya. And finally, that's a Raya. And finally, that's a riot. Now we're finally done. You remember back on Beis on the days, the first time we saw a successful Raya, we had already seen then the Maharam Chalava over there on Beis on the days, and the Rabbeinu David over here on Gimel Amud Aleph. He says, oh, all of a sudden now, we're done. All the riots up until now that we had seen discussion about, Rabbeinu David Maharam Chalava discussed why the other riots were not dispositive. Why they didn't end the discussion. It didn't prove anything. Because maybe that's not our mission. Maybe there are two different ways of using R. Sometimes I'm using it this way, sometimes I'm using it that way. This one is more dispositive in part because, what we just said, it does not use the word R. It's not about, look how someone uses the word R. Exactly. It's about our Mishnah. Kozma, I say, I can prove there exist people, up until now, there exist people who use the word R to mean night. Okay. It's a possibility, but it doesn't nail down that our Mishnah must mean that also. But now, we are nailed down. This is this isn't another source. This is a parish on our Mishnah. A parish on our Mishnah. So it's mavur, it's muchach, that we mean night. So now, the Gemara turns. The Gemara says, Ella, Bein Rav Huna, Bein Rav Yehuda, Dekuli Alma Ar Urto. The Gemara now just leaps back. And this, remember, once upon a time we were learning Beis Amud Aleph, we saw a Kalsal Kadaitich and a Rashi and a Taisis, and it was all a little fuzzy. Now it makes sense. At the very beginning, the Gemara said, My Ar. Rav Huna says, Nagi, dawn. Rav Yehuda says, Leili, night. And Kalsal Kadaitich, Mandamar Nagi, Nagi, Mamash, Mandamar, Leili, Leili, Mamash. Right now, there was that parenthetical note, that footnote, in the beginning of the Gemara. You should know that Amorim for now think that both Rav Huna and Yehuda mean it literally. For now we think, because at this point, in Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara says no. Who doesn't mean it literally? Which Amorah did not mean it literally? Which Amorah did not? Rav Yehuda. No, Rav Huna. Rav Huna had said Nagi. Rav Yehuda had said Leili. So when Yehuda said Leili, he meant Leili. When Rehuna said Nagi, he really didn't mean Nagi. He also meant nighttime. V'lo pligi. Marki Asrei, Umarki Asrei. Everyone's just using his local dialect. Basrei Drabhuna Karu Nagi, Basrei Drabhuna Karu Leili. Two different places, they have two different dialects in terms of how they use the language. So in Ravuna's area, when they want to say night, they would say dawn. That's a little bit confusing. Of course, no more confusing than our Mishnah. Not much more confusing than our Mishnah, which also use the word or, which again, you remember back to being a sugya, the starting assumption was or probably means daytime. As Yosef points out this morning during Seder, let's not forget, it's light during the day and it's dark during the night. So the most logical way, what do you say? Right, La'ar Haner, and that's the great irony. And La'ar Haner. So the Gemara right away jumps in and says, here, Rabbi Yisai, is the real point. But at this point in the Gemara, some guy mentioned during Seder, a little bit deflating. The shtickle deflating. You mean, he just spent the whole blot on a mistake. Whole blot on a mistake? Blot. There was never a machlokas, that's what the Gemara said. We thought Kasalka Daitar was a real machlokas. Kasalka Daitar of Huna actually held. The Shara Mishnah is included in the commentary in the morning. The Gemara says, now we have definitive proof. The Gemara, by the way, jumped. The Gemara said, that definitive proof. The Gemara really saying, I so Shver Huna. And the answer is, Huna didn't really mean it. So there's Mamash, there was no Shach Vataria. The whole Shach Vataria is based on a mistake. Everyone. That later Amaroim had misunderstood Rav Huna's dialect. Rav Huna's dialect, they used the word Nagi to mean night. The later Amaroim got this Masorah what Rav Huna had said. They didn't know. You know, it's like British English and American English, Lahavdil. So someone said, put it in the boot. And I'm trying to figure out what it means. I take off your boot, you put it in the. No. And when Brits use it, when Americans use the word boot, they mean something wearing your foot. When Brits use the word boot, they mean. What Americans call the trunk of the car. So I'm trying to figure out, what do you mean? He said to put the suitcase or the valise in the boot. How you talking? How big is the boot and how small is the suitcase? This American can't figure out what he means. Put the suitcase in the boot. No, the answer is, the fellow who was speaking, he was a British. I just had this chus to speak last week with a Jew from Finchley, a fellow your age, Ben Tera. He's also graduating high school, or as he put it, he's finishing college. He meant grade 13. So he's finishing college, then he's going to go to yeshiva, and then he's going to come to university. So if he said he's putting it in the boot, I can't figure out how you fit in that boot. No, you have to know what the word is. So there's the same thing here. Two different dialects in Aramaic. Different Amoram, different Iran, Iraq, they're big. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna lived in two different towns. They grew up in two different parts of Babel. They spoke different dialects of Aramaic. Ti'ilu, Lahavdil, maybe Lahavdil, British English, American English. They spoke Southern Aramaic and Northern Aramaic. So, okay. So, the later, the Gemara says, the later Amoraim didn't realize that Rav Huna was speaking this unfamiliar dialect in which Nagi actually means night rather than morning. Aye. So then you say, really? So the whole sugya is based on a mistake. Gevalt. So why do we skip all this? It's number one, we didn't skip all this because this is a chelik of the Torah. We didn't skip all this because we just, over the course of the last blot, we got a chance to learn the Yesodos of Kachin and Yesodos of Taurus. We got a chance to wrap our arms about so many other sugyas as well. To work on sugyas of Tainus and sugyas of Rosh Hashanah, Gishmak. But is that all? No. Because the next piece of the Gemara, the next Amud of Gemara, is going to make the previous block Lamaisa. In other words, it's not actually up for grabs. It's not actually negotiable whether the Zman of Vedikas Chametz or Chatchila is evening or morning. No early Amora, let's say, no one ever held the opinion that Bedikas Chametz should be in the morning. There were those who thought that Rav Huna held that opinion, but he didn't actually hold that opinion. No one actually ever themselves held that the time for Bedikas Chametz L'chadchila is in the morning. Again, we saw, and we'll get to Bli Nadir later in the year also, later in the parak, B'dyavet, that should come later in the parak. Lo Badak at night, then you have to vote in the morning. But no one ever actually held La halacha. No one ever would have told you you ought to wait till the morning. So what is the lamaisa of this sugya? The lamaisa of the sugya comes up every single day. It came up when we were walking into a different shiurim. It comes up every single day. And it's the next highly nuanced sugya, highly nuanced and very ironically, as we're going to see as we open the next sugya of Lishna Malia and of delicacy in speech, it's a very meta sugya, because according to the Rishonim, if you learn the Gemara slowly and carefully, you end up with a lot of different categories, a lot of different levels. That the Gemara didn't say Betheirish, which itself is maybe an example of Lishna Malia. The Gemara is perhaps is very meta. The Gemara is demonstrating nuance in speech by being very nuanced in speech. Because the Gemara says, V'tana didan my time alokasani leili. Why didn't our Tana say night? Shmuel said it. It was great. Or, to be more precise, the Brisa that Shmuel quoted said it. That solved a blot of Gemara. A blot of handling back and forth was solved by one word in Shmuel's Brisa. So why couldn't the Mishnah give me that one word? The Tana did done my time with Lokatani Leili. Why didn't our Tana say Leili? The Gemara says, aha, Lishna Ma'al Yehuda Nakat. There is enough to me in this whole proceeding, which is to teach me the importance of Lishna Malia, of using more elevated speech. Okay, Yeshua ben Levi, as Yeshua ben Levi taught, and there the Gemara begins to talk about not using Davar Maguna. We're going to get into the details in a moment. But before we even dive forward, let's just take a moment to think about the kasha that the Gemara just asked. Where is the kasha of Mishnah? And that's going to ignite at least an amud of discussion about using the proper versus improper speech. And that's going to show multiple levels of proper and improper speech. So but what's the kasha? The Ran is bothered by a kasha. And we can be bothered by a parallel kasha. This is the equivalent in Gemara of what the Marshal will do in the Tosfos. Right? I think you've been trained in the past through Marshals and Marams, the Maram Shifts, and Pnei Yeshuas, to be sensitive to why is Tosfos asks Kasha here instead of asking Kasha there. So how do you know that's a good Kasha? Who says that's even a legitimate Kasha to ask? The answer is, I can prove it to you from the Ran, because the Ran asks not on Tosfos, Ran asks that on the Gemara. The Ran says, why did the Gemara ask the Kasha only here, why not over there? Because the Gemara says, V'tana didan. Ah, so let's take a look, I'll show you right now. Again, what was the language of the Gemara? The opening line of the Lishna Malya Sugya. V'tana didan, in our Tana, my time of Lokatani Leili, why didn't he say night? That's the opening kasha. Why does our Mishnah say or instead of Lila? And what's the Ran troubled by? Who saw the Ran? Show the hand, who saw the Ran? A couple of Chavah had a chance to see the Ran. Let's take a look inside together. In the packet that you have, I gave you a couple pages from the Abenu David. And then a couple pages from the Chidushi Haran. And then the end is the Shari Tshuva. I try to maintain a little bit of Surah Sadaf, so to speak. If you look in the Chiddush Haran, on this line of the Gemara, here, Lot Sele, the Sigatu, for the Tana Didan, here, Ha'om Yud, Amud Yud, the Tana Didan, my Tabal, the Tana Didan, the Rana asks a question. He says, Tana Didan, the Lechum, who the Kasha was. Presents it as an answer rather than a question, but it's really a question, which he's V'yesh Lomer. He says, we're only asking about our time. Milchud, it's an important word. Chan in Arabic is what? Or Echad. The relationship between Chan and Echad should be clear. So Milchud in Arabic, which those who learn with Ukkos may come across, Lechud is Levad. Lechud in Aramaic is Levad, alone, Hebrew. Bilchud obviously is Bilvad. Tana Didan Bilchud Hu Dekashile. It's our Tana Bilvad, our Tana Bilchud Hu Shver. Below Enoch Tanoi. Enoch are them. Enoch is that one. Enoch are those. The important word. Below Enoch Tanoi, not those Tana. It's only Tana Didan. Didan means ours. Tana Shalanu. Our Tana, as in the Mishnah of Tavun Dabez on our Sugya. We've been all the Shas in the Sugya, but home base is the Mishnah of Tavun Dabez on our Tana Didan. They said, why is it Mishnah? The Ran asked a very piercing question on the Gemara's Kasha. Gemara said, how come our Tana says Ar? Why didn't our Tana say Laila? Says the Ran, that's the only Kasha you can ask me? You can only ask on Tavun Dabez? How about all the other R's that we saw? They're also Laila. How about Mapelas, R Lishmona Me'echad? The Mishnah increases in Enios. How about the Brisa, Yachal Hei Nechal, R Lishlishi? How about we just saw R Shal Yom Kippurim? Why are you only share only Kasha an hour Tana? All these Tanoim. That's what the Ran is bothered by. But again, Kedarkim Shakam Rishon, we've seen already in Tosas many times, they often will have a kushya smuya, a hidden question. The question is implied. He doesn't say, if he would have wanted to say more explicitly, he said, I Vim Tomar, why don't you only ask on our Tana? Why don't you ask on five other Tanaim also? V'yei Shlomar. But again, he doesn't say that. You have to read carefully to notice there's a kasha that he's answering. He just makes it sound very smooth, like no big deal. That says, oh, our Tana, oh, it's only our Tana. Again, in the round. Amud Yud. Let's see inside. Tana Didan Bilchud the Kasha. It's only a Kasha of our Tana. How come why do you use our it's so confusing? Below enough Tanaim. Not those Tanaim. Why not? Why do we ask on five different Tanaim? Mishum. Here's why. The Hanach are them. Enoch is those. Hanach are them. Or these. Hanach the Tanu La'ar Iburo. V'or l'shman of v'yachad, v'or l'yom ha-kippurim, right? V'or iburo was the Mishnah by the Masiyim Masuos. V'or l'shmonim was the Mishnah increased about the Yoledis. V'or l'yom ha-kippurim just saw that's about the davening, the Seder HaTfilah of Yom Kippur. Kulu muchachi deleli kamar. They're not shver. Why? What did the Ran just say? Because it's obvious. In other words, in the Kasha, the Gemara is already addressing and raising an important concept. If it's clear, use whatever word you want. Again, the reason why those were Araya in the first place is because it was clear from context that Ar meant night. The Ran says, if it's clear from context, you knock yourself out. You can talk however you want to. We don't mind your use of a broader vocabulary. The Kasha is why you're being unclear. Why you're being ambiguous. Oh! Over there, we're not bothered. I remember Ben Yaakov earlier on Beis on Beis. He said, Mishas Ha'ur, below Mukach. But even Amasisika, he was talking our Mishnah. But that's also not a problem. And I would add, the same as the Ran could have also asked, but did not. But the Masar Sarshas answered. It created a whole confusion for a blot. And in that fact, the Masorah Sashah says that he has a whole, he quotes from the Aruch, that yeah, it's Lashon Savinar, he's using, we saw this Masorah Sashah earlier. It's a euphemism. So why is he using euphemism? It's the Gemara's answer to Tana Didan, Zarsasas's answer to Rav Huna. So why do we ask Rav Huna? The answer is for the same reason. Rav Huna is following, not only is he telling you, translate our Mishnah, but Rav Huna is actually using the same method as our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is using euphemism, so Rav Huna also used euphemism. So once you figure out, once you know the Mishnah, Rav Huna fits into place as well. Now, the Gemara is going to begin to talk about Lishnamalia. I will leave with one. There are a number of questions over the course of the sugya. Misham tomorrow will start to unpack the Shach V'Tari and then see what some of the problems are. But one problem that strikes you right away, Chaim asked a couple of guys that, and say to Rishonim ask, is there something nasty about using the word Lila? We shouldn't say night seder. It's a bad word. Four-letter word. You should say light seder with an L. Really? You can't say Seder Lila, you have to say Seder Or. And that will be the topic of our sugya. What should you say, what should you not say, when, where, and why? To be continued.